fellow Suns fans, and welcome to another episode of Shining Blight. We haven't been here for a couple of weeks. I'm your host, Kieran Turner, and as always, I'm joined by General Manager of Communications, Steve Wilson.
Kieran, good to see you. It's been a little while. Malcolm, good to see you.
Yeah, hi Kieran, hi Stephen, hi guys, how are you? Look, nothing's really happened, has it, in the football world?
No, very quiet.
No, there was a team called the Bulldogs, Western Bulldogs. Wasn't it great? I mean, I know we tipped the Swans and all that, but wasn't it a great thing for football that another team, won four finals, which they said 100 years ago could never be done, so they've now matched the brilliant Adelaide Crows from 97, the well-coached team, of course, to win four finals. Good on you, Bullies.
Well, that actually brings us to our first topic. We're going to start and talk about the trade period. And obviously, the big news or the big shock was coming out of Hawthorn, where Sam Mitchell and Jordan Lewis were traded away. Malcolm, does it remind you of a cull that happened in 1996, perhaps?
Yeah, certainly some senior players. I mean, the Sam Mitchell one, I was astounded because I think he's still got another 2 or 3 years left in him. He is a freak, an absolute freak. Jordan Lewis is a good call, I think. It extends his career and perhaps he can go to Melbourne and help him. But the Sam Mitchell one was one out of left field, Stephen.
It certainly was, and that's, I think, what trade week or the exchange period will be like going forward. It's becoming more and more a business decision for clubs, and Hawthorn clearly think they won out of it, and the other teams think they did, but importantly, I think we did.
Well, actually, one of the things that I find fascinating about this is that we've become the Jared Club. Now, you mightn't know this, but we've now recruited Jared Witts and Jared Lyons. We already had Jared Grant, Jared Harbrow, and Jared Garlett. So I think that now our nickname's going to be Jared, but they're spelt differently. Three are spelt with an O, one with an A, and one with a YD for all those out there. Go and have a look at the new list of the Suns. It's going to be fascinating. And I must tell you a quick story. I was coaching the Crows, and we had four Matthews in the team. And I remember saying to the runner, get out and tell that Matthew. He ran off the bench. 30 seconds later, he came back and said, which one? So get ready, Rocket. Rod, you need, he's got a problem with Jared.
There's a few redheads on the list too, if you haven't noticed that. We talked about that last week in the office.
Yes, 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 there is. And?
Well, I'll leave that one there.
And Piers Hanley is a new player as well, so we've got to mention him, don't we?
Of the new recruits, yeah. Who are you looking forward to seeing pulling on the jumper?
I'm actually looking forward to seeing Piers Hanley play for us so he doesn't win any more Marcus Ashcroft medals in those Brisbane Q clashes. He's been a very good player. Probably been a little bit inconsistent, but I think he will help us. Jared Lyons.
What's your mail out of Adelaide?
No, he's an improving type. Yep. Improving type. Originally from Sandringham in the under-18s. So we've got a Melbourne boy coming to the Suns, so that's good. I think that's good. And, of course, the other lad, Jared Witts, was from New South Wales. So it's a bit of a potpourri, an Irishman, a Melbourne boy, and a New South Wales boy.
Certainly is. We've spoken to them all on Suns TV and throughout the journey of the last couple of weeks. I think all three of them will play a role, especially, I think, Piers Hanley and Jared Lyons early. The raps out of Adelaide on Jared Lyons are really good.
He's had a really good year. I mean, you know, I watch most games, and he became a genuine midfielder for him. He's probably, you know, after Sloan, who's terrific, of course, Thompson's a veteran, and also a couple of others, but the Crouch boys probably. But, I mean, he was really good.
He was really consistent too. Averaged, yeah. I think, 22 disposals, yeah. 10 contested, which is really going to help that
engine room. Likes a goal too, which
he
I does. Like,
he
yeah.
kicked 15, I think it was last year, so impact the scoreboard will be a real handy addition. The deals for Jager and Dion, how'd you see those, Blighty?
They took their time, didn't they? I would have thought the Dion one could have been done pretty quickly. I think that we knew as a club, and, you know, Dion was pretty honest. I think our chairman said that, you know, he did have a family pull, which is going to happen throughout someone's career somewhere. The other one, Jager, there's still a lot of conjecture about whether they should have got that second round draft pick the year after. And anyhow, it's been done now. And I think it's like a lot of things. Once it's done, it's done. I mean, you can whinge and moan or carry on. But, you know, one of the problems that we've got is that now we've got Hanley and Lyons who actually play footy. The other two lads, with due respects, Jager hasn't played for 2 years, so he's no loss. We haven't had him. And Dion's played half the time. So if we can get just 15 games out of these guys, we're going to be in front.
Yeah, we're in front. And importantly, too, the four top 10 draft picks, that's something really to look forward to going forward.
Yeah, it is, and I think a couple of those might be for some really good academy kids too, Stephen. You've been down there with the boys and all the trade week and all the goings-on. That's the word on the street?
Yeah, a lot of talk about Jack Bowes, obviously a Cairns boy, but moved down to the Gold Coast a couple of years ago really to further his footy, and also Brad Shear. So they're really two academy options that we've got to take, and you know, we're a vehicle for Queensland footy, so you'd like to think that it happened, but of course there's a bidding system, so we'll have to wait and see what happens there. But I think the club are pretty keen on both of those two boys. You would have seen a bit of them.
I have, actually. I've seen quite a bit of them. You know, Jack, for those out there that haven't seen him, I mean, this is putting a big stamp on him, and I tend to do that sometimes, but he's got a wonderful movement with the ball. He's got that deft movement like a Scott Pendlebury for all the Collingwood fans out there and the people that like Scott. I think we all do. He's got that little shimmer, you know, a little shimmer that just gets him. And Sherry's just a good... And kicks goals. They both like goals too, which I like.
2017, do you see them playing significant senior football, or do you think they'll be drip-fed into the system?
You know what? I'm always keen to see the training, see what their tanks are like, see how they handle the training. And then, you know, there's a couple of practice games and there's plenty of competitive training prior to Christmas even. You know, the boys start to get into it. So you're going to see if they can match up with our guys. If they do, I would suggest they've both got talent, which is going to be exciting.
Steve, you just flown back from Melbourne literally an hour ago. A big announcement down there yesterday, wasn't there?
Huge day down in Melbourne. Historic day. And you know, we were excited as a footy club, but then you walk in and you see people from the AFL who are really excited, and then the Port Adelaide Football Club were beside themselves as well. So when you think of how far the game's come in recent times, but to head over to China to play a game, it's going to be wonderful for both the Gold Coast Footy Club, but also our city. So
yeah, the game is shanghaied like we'd never thought it would. Hey, what about that? Just talking about things that are great in the world. There's been an announcement by Lonely Planet, the best place to visit in the world. The best places to visit in the world. Guess what ran fifth and the highest rated Australian city?
It wasn't Adelaide, was it?
Yes, it was. How did you know? Aren't there a lot of good things in about Adelaide?
Well, so tell us two things that are good about Adelaide.
Well, actually...
The airport?
Well,
is that
one? Yeah, no, the Woodville
and the,
Oval.
And the road to
no,
it.
No, hey, come on. The Woodville Oval. Come on, all those people out there that know Adelaide. And there's lots of Adelaide people on the Gold Coast and actually love it. And we all love getting back there. So South Australia, fifth best. How good's that?
The fixture, we were actually going back to Adelaide next year, which would be good for you, but it doesn't happen until round 23. How did you guys see the actual fixture? And obviously a big big year ahead at Metricon Stadium with the Victorian heavyweights coming next year.
Yes, that's true. I think the commercial department's pretty happy about these teams coming,
I would have thought
they?
So. When you look at this very strong Victorian connection, big crowds, you would think.
Yeah, we've got the sheet in front of us. If you haven't got it yet, you can get it up on the website. I saw it there today, yep. So I've actually got mine printed. And you've got both Tommy Lynch and Stephen May, just on the front of it, which is great. Brisbane Lions first up, then the Giants in Sydney. That'll be pretty easy. And then the Hawks, the battered Hawks. The O'Meara Cup. And then Carlton at Etihad Stadium. So the first four are pretty interesting, and then it gets worse.
There's never an easy fixture when you look at them. It's an even competition.
No, of course, where we finish on the ladder, you always tend to look up. I asked someone somewhere when I was coaching in Adelaide, we coached the bottom side as I started to get coaching, and I asked them if they could put a horizontal ladder in the paper rather than one up and down.
Brisbane game, I think, is one to look forward to. Round one Q clash, a great way to get the season started. Yeah. I just feel the anticipation leading into the 2 weeks before that game is going to be great from both clubs. I think it's one you can really look forward to.
Yeah, and it's got a bit of spice now, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's intensified.
Us in Queensland see this, you know, happening. Unfortunately, we've got some suspensions out of it, but you know, it hasn't been a filthy game by any means, but there's been some hard hitting.
Yeah, there hasn't. Pierce Hanley, of course, his first game for the Suns will be up against his old side.
Yep,
should be one to watch. Any other games that you're looking forward to in particular? Probably Collingwood coming back to Metricon Stadium. The game back in 2014 was a sellout, the only time we've actually achieved that. So that's really one to look forward to.
And that'll be probably depend on both teams' forms. Mm-hmm. You know, if we can just get a few less injuries, that'd be great. And Collingwood have actually recruited pretty well, Stephen, haven't they? Their trading's been okay.
Yeah, they've gone a lot more senior and mature, so you'd think there'd be an immediate impact there. The good thing about that game, July school holidays... I reckon there'd be Pies fans everywhere already ringing up accommodation houses here on the Gold Coast, booking in their mid-winter holiday up to the Gold Coast. So that'll be a good game. And also the one I'm looking forward to, or the two really, the Hawthorn game and the Richmond game. It'll just be the second time both those sides have played here at Metricon. I think Richmond game last time might have been a round one game or really early in the year and was, you know, a big crowd, and I think we'll see the same again this year.
I've got a feeling the Geelong game, it's round seven, Saturday 6th of May. You know, I know the Gary Ablett factor and all that, but the Cats, you know, they can actually draw a big crowd too. And by, you know, what it's like in May in Melbourne, she's starting to get a bit nippy. Yeah,
certainly.
There's a bit of travel too. Another one where a new first is the game in Alice Springs against Melbourne. Have you ever been out to Alice?
Yes, I have. I played games up there and coached games up there. It's the people are just fantastic. It's similar to Darwin. They just come out in their droves and they love their footy. Fantastic.
Yeah, when I was at a former life at Carlton, we played a NAB Cup game out there against the West Coast Eagles at Traeger Park. It's a great surface, one of the best surfaces I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Generally is. They're obviously warm and a lot of rain, so they do love their footy, as you said, Blighty. And I know Stephen May, for one, and he'd probably prefer it to be in Darwin, but he's really looking forward to playing in the Territory and the family and friends getting down to Alice.
He'll love it.
As we've said, there's been plenty of big news over the last couple of days, and today Nick Malcheski's announced his retirement. Obviously, All-Australian Premiership player. We remember him for his goal in that grand final back in 2012. But probably didn't hit his straps at the Suns as much as he would have liked due to those injuries.
Yeah, no, I mean, it looked like a good pick early, didn't it? You know, just an experienced player, half-back, just tighten it down. His body did let him down a bit, didn't it? You know, we thought he'd be all right, but he's had a great career, hasn't he? I mean, all that he's done.
He had a tough career too with all those knees. I think he had three large surgeries on his knee.
Yeah, his body's just let him down. And, it happens to us all, but he's a good bloke, Nick. I'm sure he'll do well in the football world.
Well, pleasingly for us, he'll stay with the footy club in a role in the academy. He's, when he came up here, he spoke about wanting to be a development coach going forward, and clearly that role presents itself at the Suns, and I'm sure he'll do really well. But I was speaking to him the other day, and he said he'd been back for 3 weeks running, and his knee already swelled up, and he needed to get it drained and a bit of an injection in there, and I think he knew then that, early in the preseason, well, it hadn't even started yet, and he was having the issues. So, well done, great career. That grand final, as you mentioned, Kieran, will be a memory that I'm sure he and his family will never forget.
Yep.
Significantly, he's provided plenty of leadership amongst the group too. We can't forget that, and the relationship he's built with the players over the last 2 years, that'll be strengthened in that academy role. So,
absolutely. One of the reasons, I think, as well as his playing ability, that he was brought into the club, wasn't it, Malcolm? That
absolutely.
Leadership.
Yeah. Oh, look, there's been some good stuff done off the ground, and it's just so sad his body just didn't quite let him do it.
Questions from the fans. So, Blighty, we've got a few hard-hitting ones, as we always do.
Go.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Firstly, what do you think of the jumper? Would you like to see any tweaks made to it?
No. I think over time, I think that the jumper with the GC in the middle, it was almost modelled on the Carlton, which some years ago was named the best jumper in the competition, you know, because it's traditional old simplicity in the middle. And I think that once we start playing in finals and people see it, they'll embrace it just like they did Carlton. No, I'm happy with the jumper.
The WA clubs claim that the extra travel they do shortens the careers of their players. Do you expect there to be a similar problem for the Gold Coast players?
Interesting question. Everyone's had that theory with the Eagles, and Matthew Pavlich, who's now retired, of course, this year, has just smashed through 350 games. So no one got to 300 prior to that. Look, it is. You know what it's like when you sit on a plane yourself. It takes a bit out of you. But, you know, we're so much better at hydrating and doing all sorts of stuff and what they do before and after the plane. So it is. It's tougher than the Perth teams, and some teams in Melbourne wouldn't have a clue. They are so ignorant of how hard it is, even for the Gold Coast and Brisbane teams, you know, 2 hours. Even the Adelaide team, when I coached Adelaide, an hour. I mean, it takes you 3 hours, four hours to get to wherever you're going, doesn't it? I mean, you're an hour there, an hour there, an hour on the flight, hour to get under, out of gear. And I mean, it really is a bit of a hassle. So all interstate clubs do it a bit tougher.
But you compare that to some of the teams in America or Europe, for example, in their soccer or the NBA, and they're travelling every second week and going on long journeys, 7 days at times. So we probably don't have it too bad when you think about it like that.
No, and the other thing is, one of the great things about our game is you get to play home. You know, and we all have our 10, 11, 12 games at home, and they're the ones that you really got to treasure.
The next question, with our three new recruits, obviously Lyons, Witts and Hanley, and our four top 10 draftees, do you see us finals bound on the back of these recruitments?
Every November, October, November, December, I say that every year. Of course, why wouldn't you? Why would you turn up, Kieran? Why would you turn up if you didn't think you could play in the finals? I mean, I don't see why not. And you look with it, you know, with a glass half full, I reckon. And hey, we've reloaded. We're absolutely equal right now, aren't we?
We are. Can't wait.
Yeah, can't wait.
Steve, there's actually a question that's come through for you and I. Would you believe?
No, Malcolm, are you going to be okay?
Oh, come on. Who is this person?
Oh, I haven't got a name here.
No, hello, make it up then. Go on. Freddie, good on you, Freddie.
Good on you, Freddie. How did you get into your job at the Suns, and what's an average day like? How much is spent with players and staff, and what's the best and hardest part about the job?
Good question. How did I get involved? Obviously, finished uni and went to work at Sport 927, as it was known then, in Melbourne, which is a sports radio station. Assistant producer of The Breakfast Show, I was there a little while and got tapped on the shoulder and went over to the Carlton Footy Club. Spent 7 years there. Enjoyable time. Just didn't win that often, but we won 2 pre-season cups. That was the best we got. And then 2011, right on the eve of the season, another tap on the shoulder to come up here to the Gold Coast Suns. And at the time, I didn't think I'd move. I came up and met with Travis Auld. And when I flew back, I think he'd recruited a few people before. So when I flew back, I was definitely coming. And I went back, told the CEO at the time at Carlton there that I was going to go. And he said, thanks very much. No hard feelings, but you better finish this afternoon. So I started at Carlton on the back at the Gold Coast the next following Monday.
The perfect one.
Best part of the job I find these days is when you get on the plane and you switch your phone off.
There you go.
You get the 2 hours free.
That is a good one. For me, I came through the AFL, obviously, for 2 years. Hardest part about the job, someone's answered that for me. It's carrying Blighty's ego.
Oh, come on. This is Freddie. Freddie, you're a naughty person.
Malcolm, the blight of the week. We believe you've got something on traffic lights this week.
Yeah, look, one of the things that when you try and got nothing to do with footy, and you might love my cricket, I love my sport, but just occasionally I think you've got to revisit what we live in and what's around us. And so I just, you know, when you pull up at a traffic light and you think, where did this all start? Well, I can tell you now, in 1868, this is for all those out there, if you want a cup of tea, this will take 38 seconds.
How old were you then, Malcolm?
In London they tried it, but it exploded. It was a gas one. So later, an Ernest Serene patented it in Chicago, in the USA, in 1910, and had stop and a proceed. So two lights, stop and proceed, which eventually became caution, and as the colours came from there. So in Detroit, in also the USA, it was a three-way for the first time by William Potts in 1920. So that they're the steps of the traffic lights we now see. And just think of the chaos we'd have in our world if it wasn't for traffic lights. And so on that note, just think of what the game of football would be like without our dear friends, the umpires. The umpires are like traffic lights. Just put that together. And also, I think the question for me this week, for all those that haven't fallen asleep, is what is the best invention that you've seen in your lifetime? A lot of people in Ben Hur's days in the chariot said the wheel, and they're probably right. I thought the plane was, but this is true, and I'm not being smutty here. About 10 years ago, there was a list of inventions, and a particular inventor said the bra. The woman's bra was the best invention. That's true. You can look it up. I think, and my wife is darling, she said, I think that's a fairly overrated thing, Malcolm. So go out there and what's a really good invention? One off the top of your head, Stephen.
Oh, off the top of my head, probably the most impactful invention in my time, and we're talking about when I started at Carlton then, is the telephone. So the mobile telephone. I started there was no emails to your phone. My first upgrade to a phone that got emails with a BlackBerry. Now when you look at your phone, it's changed a lot, and it's changed how we do business every day with the telephone. So that's probably the biggest impactful one.
Really good one. And Kieran?
I'd probably go down a similar path and say the internet, because I wouldn't have a job without one. So
that's probably a good point.
We all need it these days. We couldn't live without it, I suppose. So
isn't that fantastic? Mm. So this all started with traffic lights, remember? So there are some inventions out there. Now this is one for you two guys. Mm-hmm. Which state in Australia had the first set of traffic lights?
I'd be South Australia, knowing you.
Come on, Stephen, you should get this one. Come on, I've given you a clue.
Victoria.
Melbourne, yes. And it was on the corner in 1928, just after I was born. Collins and Swanson Street, one of the famous streets in corner. So Melbourne 28. There, boys, that's traffic lights. Remember, you can't do without them, just like umpires.
There you go. Let's go to a different topic now. In the spring racing carnival, Steve, you're obviously well known for your results last year, the Melbourne Cup obviously Prince of Penzance. And recently, the Hamilton Cup, you added that one to your collection, which is a great
honor. Like a Daver last Sunday, it was a good win.
I'll back that one.
Thanks for the call again, Stephen. That's great of you.
So can we get some Melbourne Cup tips from you, Steve?
Yes. Still a little way out. But if I was a betting man, I like Hartnell. Just the way he won the Turnbull Stakes there at Flemington, I think he'll run really well. At a little bit of odds, I'd go Big Orange, an international horse who ran fairly well in last year's Cup and has done really well this year.
I agree with you with Hartnell. It just he looked a bit dour, didn't he, in that the Cox Plate.
I don't think Mooney Valley suited him.
Winks, yeah, and that could be too. Jamaica's been terrific, hasn't she? And I've seen a couple of those, like Ethereal, both. Just the way she trounced them.
But the way Hartnell beat Jamaica, you just think, in that Turnbull
state. Over two miles, that's the difference. I don't know. I think it'll be a great race. And you got something on? You going somewhere?
I'll be down in Melbourne. Heading down for Derby Day. And, well, you only go there as a running champion once, I reckon. So I'm going to go there and enjoy it. I would have loved to have been in there. But
yeah, that's why I go to the Brownlow Medal, because you go there. Because you had. All that sort of stuff. I get that.
You going to pull the red cap out, Steve?
Well, just one thing I learnt from last year, if you're ever in Melbourne Cup night and you can find yourself a red Fly Emirates cap, grab it, put it on your head, you get in everywhere, you get everything for free and people love you. So if you can find one of those, go for it.
Just a little insider tip there for you. Blight, have you got anything else for us today?
Yeah, look, there's a great song out, boys, and it's a ballad. You've got to get a good ballad every now and again. And it's a terrific one that you wouldn't have to worry about this now, Kieran, that you've got your fiancé on your arm now. Dancing on My Own, Callum Scott. If you haven't heard about it, go and have a listen to this, Dancing on My Own, and the lyrics great, the voice is great, but it's a ballad. Callum Scott, what a beauty.
There you go. That's all the time we've got for today. As always, thanks for joining us, Steve.
Thanks, Kieran. Thanks, Malcolm. Enjoy Cup Week.
Oh, yes, enjoy Cup. Derby Day, Melbourne Cup. What a great time. Oaks, everything. Great weekend.
And pre-season training starts in just over a week's time, so we're back into it again.
Fantastic. Thanks, Kieran. Thanks, Stephen.
Thank you.
Thanks for your time.